Joining us now, we have down in Austin Country Club, where the WGC match play is next week, the head golf professional, Dale Morgan, joins us. Welcome in, Dale.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, good stuff. You guys prepared down there? Get all the bleachers and everything up? What's going on?
I tell you what, we have been working really, really hard since January the 2nd, and we have transformed this golf course into almost a stadium-like look, and we're excited about it and ready to have the top 64 players in the world come and try our golf course out.
Well, Dale, I mean, your course has been around since 1899, but it's probably unfamiliar to a lot of folks who've never seen it, and you've not seen a tournament played on here on TV. What can we expect? What kind of course is Austin Country Club?
Well, you know, it's a Pete Dye golf course. We were actually founded in 1899. We've actually moved to three different locations, so it's kind of unique in the fact that all three of those locations are still operating golf courses. But we are over here northwest of Austin and on a peak right on the Colorado River. And Pete Dye designed this golf course. We moved over here in 1984. And the only two players so far that have actually seen the golf course or played it would be Jason Duffner and Jordan Spieth. The golf course itself is very typical Pete Dye. The greens and the surroundings around the greens are really tough. A lot of movement in the greens, a lot of slope. The golf course will be the second shortest golf course that they play on the PGA Tour. So it's not a bomber's golf course by any means. A lot more strategic. They're going to have to hit a lot of probably hybrids and three woods off the tees to get in position to try to get that ball in a place on the green where, you know, they can try to make the putt.
Yeah, so that's the question I had is, are we playing the course as it's designed 1 through 18, or have they moved anything around?
You know, we actually flipped the nines. Okay. We're going to play our number one hole will be their number 10, and we did that for a couple of reasons. One, the PGA Tour wanted to showcase the holes down on what we call the lowlands of the golf course, which is about five holes that go right along the Colorado River. Very beautiful. We've got the Pennybacker Bridge in the background, so it's a very beautiful part of the golf course. But it's also a very risk-reward style holes on that low side. And so we feel like the meat of the golf course is kind of the front nine. And when they get to the back, they've got number 12, which is a reachable par 5, and then 13 is going to be probably the real fun hole in the golf course because it's about a 315-yard par 4 over water where you have a fairway that goes to the right, or you can, of course, just, you know, go right at the green and try to knock it on there. And I think they'll give them that opportunity throughout the week to give it that shot, and that ought to bring a lot of fun and excitement to television.
So I'm looking at the scoreboard, your scorecard as it sits. So currently you finish with a 5, a 3, a 5, and a 4. So that's going to be the back of the front nine, correct?
That is correct.
Now, is that correct?
I mean,
I like the way that looks on the scorecard for carnage. How do those four holes play to finish and sort of set the tone for the back?
Well, you know, I tell you what, they're tough. Very, very difficult holes. We've taken our 17th hole, which will be their 8th hole, and it's a par 5. We've turned it into a par 4.
Ooh.
And so it will be played as a par 71. And that hole as a par 4 is very challenging. They'll be hitting a mid to long iron into that green, kind of an elevated green with some very, very deep pop bunkers around it and some very deep pop bunkers around the green and a very treacherous little green itself that they'll actually be hitting into. And then our 18th hole, which will be their 9th hole, will be a very, very challenging hole. It's not as long as some of them are on the golf course, but very challenging drive and a very challenging second shot. So it'll set them up going into that back nine to really have some fun.
Well, a little warning for you from a tournament director here in Charlotte who had his course flip the nines. Our membership at Raintree Country Club, where we flip the nines for the Symetra Classic, is always confused now because this is some first timer experience because I was the tournament director the first year we did it. The vernacular around the club becomes, Is that tournament eight or everyday eight? Is that tournament eight or everyday?
I said tournament eight, tournament seven. That's what happens when you flip nines. You know, you're constantly trying to figure out which one you're actually talking about. So I can understand why they go through that.
Well, you know what can also happen is you can set up for the pro-am and your golf shop guys can run out, forget that they're flipped, and put closest to the pin on a par five.
That is correct.
And our pro-am first few pro-am groups through were like, really? It's the closest to the pin at like 600 yards? Really?
Yeah, it's closest to the pin in three.
Oh, I love it.
So that's watch great. Out for the guy you send out with the contest holes.
All right, Dale. So as we you know, crack the front nine and go to the back nine, and let's say that a match is at even. What kind of is the pivotal holes that we might look at on the back nine that could sway a match one way or the other?
Well, I think the 12th and 13th hole will be two holes that are going to be definitely very exciting and kind of pivotal in the match, depending on where they stand, because the 12th hole is going to be a par five. That's somewhat reachable for most of the players, except if you miss it just a little bit left, you've got Lake Austin or the Colorado River that banks the green. And if you miss it a little right, there's some pretty deep Pete Dye putt bunkers on the right-hand side. So with greens that have a lot of movement in them and green speeds that are pretty quick, makes for a very good risk-reward type shot. And then, of course, like I said before, coming into 13, you know, if you're down, there's a good chance that, you know, somebody's going to give it a shot and try to knock it on that green and one. And it's going to take a great shot. You miss it a little bit left. It's not a total island green, but it's bordered by water around the left and front. And then the right-hand side, there's not a lot of landing area there. So it's definitely going to take some good shots there. And then you move on around, and let's just say they get to the 16th hole. The 16th hole is one of the longest par fives on the golf course. It'll be reachable at two for some of the guys, not all of them. But it's very, very treacherous around the greens. Got a false front and some very, very deep bunkers around it. So, you know, coming down the stretch is going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. And, you know, whether they get past 16 or not, they'll have a good chance to really do some neat stuff.
Yeah, that was the next question I had for you. Is, you know, in match play, the 18th hole a lot of times becomes the redheaded stepchild that just kind of gets left out of everything. When we come to 18, you know, if we've got somebody's got a one-up lead, is there opportunity? Because sometimes you see in golf courses, you know, in the past, not last year, but in years past, 18 was kind of a really difficult hole to birdie if the pin was in a certain spot. What are we going to see at Austin Country Club? Are we going to see guys having an opportunity to make a birdie to send it to extra holes?
You know, they could. There's no question. The 18th hole will definitely not be one of the longer holes on the golf course. They can't drive the ball onto the 18th hole, I don't believe, but because it's got some severe changes in topography as you move down. But the green itself moves a lot. It's got a lot of movement in it, and so pin placements on that green will be prime, and they're going to have to get in a position where they can leave that ball in the right place to be able to make that birdie. But and it's got some really deep pot bunkers just short of that green too. So, you know, they're going to have to really be thinking about how they're going to play that last hole if it gets to that point. But it can definitely be birdied, and then they would move on from there.
So as you're looking at the field and it's shaping up, and you know, who are you looking at who you think has a game that really fits your course in match play?
Well, I think anybody that's good from 100 yards in has got a really really good opportunity. The Zach Johnsons of the world. I've got to believe that Justin Thomas is kind of built for this golf course. No question, Jordan. Jordan gets his putter hot, and he's got a little rest under his belt. Then I think he's going to be tough to beat. He knows the golf course. He's played it for a year and a half when he was here at the University of Texas. He has some qualifiers out here. He practiced out here some. So he does know the surroundings, so he's got a little bit of an advantage. We did refurbish the golf course, and we just opened up back in November, so we were closed for 10 months. So The greens are somewhat similar to the way they were when Jordan was here at school, but they've changed a little because we've, of course, you know, they're a little bit bigger because we picked up some space that we had lost. So he has an advantage, but yet he hasn't seen the golf course since we've refurbished it. But I got to believe, you know, anybody that gets a putter hot or anybody that's got a good short game, it's not a bomber's course. It's going to bring almost the whole field into play, and I think the matches will be very, very exciting because I think the difficulty of the front side is going to really challenge them by the time they get to the backside.
Yeah, well, one player's name who you didn't mention who's nasty good inside 100 is Phil Mickelson. Are you telling me he's going to lose it off the tee on every hole?
You know what? And of all the people I was so excited to have come was Phil, too. And Phil hasn't played in the last couple of years, I think, in the match play, so we're excited about having him. His creativity around the greens is going to make him definitely a favorite. You know, the other thing I was thinking about as I was riding around the golf course the other evening is that, you know, the good part about Phil doesn't have to pull a driver out very often. So if Phil can hit hybrids off the tee or long irons off the tee, then he's going to be right in the mix of everything. And with his creativity around these slick moving greens, I think he's definitely got a huge advantage.
Now, before we let you go, Dale, I'm looking at this as a first time event for you guys, a big one. It's a match play event. There's a lot of moving parts here, and we've had Kim Huffam, the executive director of the Wells Fargo, on, and he was the original director of that event. And his first year, he didn't really know what to do, but he's now got a notebook. Whose notebook do you have?
that's a good question because we've moved this event around a little bit, you know, coming from Harding Park last year and then of course in Tucson at Dove Mountain for a few years and so it's been moved around a little bit and I'll tell you what, all I can say is that the PGA Tour, Jordan Uplager, tournament director, I mean those guys have done such a phenomenal job of coming into a busy club. I mean we do 35,000 rounds of golf a year. Oof. So we're not a slow moving club, we're a fast moving club and they've come in here and really wrapped their arms around this membership and around this club and transformed this golf course into a championship course in really 6 short months, really. So I give them all the credit. I mean, they know what they're doing. They're very, 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 very sharp, and they understand their tournament and what they're trying to achieve, and they've done a great job in instilling that in all of us.
Well, Dale, man, we look forward to a great event at Austin Country Club next week, and have fun and – you know, like Mike said, make sure the members understand that it's tournament versus every day.
Hey, guys, I appreciate it so much. Thanks for having me on. I wish you all the best and keep doing the good work you're doing, growing the game out there for us.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dale.